Okay.
Welcome back, everybody. And welcome those who are new. And you should know, if you're new, well, even if you're not new, you can always come and go. If you're here 1 week and then you're not here for a few weeks and you want to come back, it's like we're not, like, it doesn't, you know, every year is separate. I never feel like, oh, I haven't gone in a long time. It's totally fine. We love having people pop in and out all the time. We're totally good with it. It's great to see everybody. So a number of people have noted that this is special because typically we start this year after Yontif. So we always start
I'm a surprise, surprise.
Noach or Lech Lecha. But this year, because Yontif is so late, I said, you know what? Let's give it a shot. So these are parshiyos that we've actually never learned together in this forum, which I think is great. So we'll give it a shot. I apologize at the top of the page says my notes. It's not really. It's just your source sheet. But that's what I put on mine, and then I always cut and paste it to the source sheet, and then I delete that phrase, and I didn't. So you all have a thing that says my notes. So it can be your notes. So anyways. Okay, so let's get started. So source number one is Parshas Ki Teitze. And Parshas Ki Teitze begins by talking about some of the rules of war, some of the laws of war. But then it turns to other topics also. And one of the topics is the mitzvah, what we call Hashavas Aveda. If you know the Uncle Moshe song, you can sing it in your head. So says the Torah as follows. Lo sireh shor achicha, o es seyo nidachim, v'hisalamta mehem, hasheiv tishivim lachicha. So if you see your fellow Israelites, ox or sheep, gone astray, do not ignore it. You must take it back to your peer, to the other person. And let's say he's not there. He's not near you. You don't know who he is. So what do? You don't just leave it there. You take it home to your house. And keep it until someone comes to claim it. So if someone loses something, so they lose their ox or their sheep or whatever it is. So don't just, you see it wandering around. You know it belongs to someone. So take it home. If you know the person, then bring it back to him. If you don't know whose it is, then you hold on to it until someone comes to claim it. Fine. And not just for his ox or sheep, even for his donkey. And same thing for his clothing. It's true for any item that a person can lose. It could be their watch, it could be their phone, it could be their wallet, whatever it is. You find it. You are not allowed to overlook it. Here it says you must not remain indifferent. You can't look away. So a very wonderful, beautiful halacha known as Hashavas Aveda. Your friend loses something, you should give it back to them. Great. That's kind of a lot of detail in this conversation. Yeah.
Also, why does it not just say you should do this it says you should do it with all these different animals? Why doesn't it just say that at the beginning of the animals for which you should do this?
Or, by the way, how does it end? What's the final definition of what you should return?
Anything.
Anything.
So why are we only naming animals?
A clothing. Just tell me. Anything somebody loses. Finish. What do you need? 7 examples. Good. What else?
First you have to look, and then you have to keep it and I guess feed the animals until a person...
Ah, so it can become expensive, actually.
Yeah.
Right, if it's an animal, if it's somebody's iPhone, you can just keep it on your, you keep it in a drawer in your house. But if it's their dog, it's going to be a lot of respect.
You bring it
for shots. You're going to have all of a sudden you become this big... So how far does that go? It's a good question, right? But it's actually a lot of responsibility for the animal. Good. How about this one? The Torah says, what is the mitzvah? What is the mitzvah here? What is the mitzvah to do?
Returning.
How do we say that in Hebrew? It says it here. Yeah, hashev tishivim lachicha. Return it to him. Good. So, but the Torah doesn't just say that. It doesn't just say give it back. What does it also say? Not to do.
Don't ignore it.
Lo sireh shor achicha oseyon v'yisalam. What's he salam to me? And turn away. Rather give it back. So is that just say, if you see it, give it back. Finished, right? If you see it, give it back. And by the way, what is it? How does the whole conversation end? At the end, also, lo suchal yisalem. You can't. What is that?
So it's like a lo tase and an.
So maybe it makes a lo tase and an say. But it's a very interesting way to tell me what to do. It's 3 whole long pesukim. Could have just said, Ki matzei avedas achicha hashev tishivim lo. You found it, something your brother, somebody lost, return to them. And if not, bring it home, and then until they come get it. Right? It's kind of a relatively long way with a lot of details, and very descriptive about like your emotions in the experience. Like you can't ignore it. Like, just tell me what to do. I should give it back. Give it back. But like, what's the moshishmus? Don't ignore it. It's not nice. Be a mensch.
Like, what's going on? It puts like a lot of burden on someone for just like stumbling upon something.
Ah, it's a big responsibility all of a sudden. Yeah, it's not so simple. You find something that belongs to somebody else.
Like a converse in the Torah about like the halachot for someone who loses something, like all the steps you need to find it to avoid the burden it puts on someone else. I assume not, because I haven't heard of it.
There are halachos about how you claim an aveda. How do you claim? How do we know that it's yours? We're going to talk about that a little bit, right? That there's a value in how do you claim it?
Do you have to compensate somebody for any expense that they've gone to?
I don't know. I would imagine the answer is yes. That if they found your animal and they held on to it, I don't know. It would they've been feeding it, et cetera. It would seem that you would. I don't know that for sure, but it would seem reasonable that you would have to. Yeah.
Also, it doesn't say anything about feeding it, right? It just says about taking it home with you.
It does not say anything about feeding it.
But it's interesting that if it's specifying all these things you do need to do, it's like noteworthy that it doesn't specify.
Well, it does say v'haya imcha. It should be with you. So, like, you can't let it die. But it's a whole child. What happens? What happens if you take? What happens if you take that animal? What if you take that animal home and then it hurts somebody else? Then that dog bites somebody, right? Are you responsible? The answer is probably yes, because once you take it home, you become like you become a shomer. Right, you're now responsible. You've taken ownership, and you'd actually be responsible probably if it would hurt somebody else. You take the guards would be like, you took their ox and it gored someone. Mm-hmm. But our case would be, you take a dog and it bit somebody or something, right? So you'd be responsible for that. Yes, it actually becomes a big responsibility. It's not so small, which might explain, actually, why the Torah talks about it in this way. So we'll see. Fine. So I'll ask you one other question that I hope we'll get to at the end, which is the context. Right, the beginning of the whole parsha is Kitiyas l'melchama al ivechas. Halachos that apply when you go to war.
This is just milchemes mitzvah or milchemes
rishus.
There are two different types of.
Yeah, so that the Kitiyas l'melchama al ivechas, even milchemes rishus, milchemes mitzvah means like when we're self defense, like this war now is a milchemes mitzvah. Milchemes rishus we don't really do anymore. Probably it's like not so PC. It's like you go like takes up, you conquer other nations and take over their land for fun. So we don't really do that anymore.
You want to take it so the enemy can't get it.
Well, so my whole point.
It says Israel. Like,
so my only question is, all I'm saying is, my question is, why is this here?
Maybe because someone went to war and like the home front. Sort of.
Okay, things could get lost in war. Maybe it's something happen. Maybe things get lost more in war. I don't know.
The speaker last night, she gave an example of like one of her friends who had been killed on October 7th. He was like a lover of animals, and oftentimes dogs would like come through the fence, or they would escape Gaza and come in like by their base, and he would take care of the animals. So I feel like that's not such an uncommon thing during wartime.
Animals to come wander. Okay, good. That'd be a good reason. Good.
Well, also, maybe this also just like, because I don't know much about this parsha, but I know that Shiloh HaKain is also in this.
Yes,
parsha.
It is.
So maybe it's like Shifton's talking about laws about animals.
Okay. Yeah, there are. Yeah, it is going to be. And by the way, not just about animals, but also our emotional relationship and how we manage and kindness, etc., related to that. Yeah, absolutely. Good. Okay, so we have a few questions. Why so much like don't turn away, make sure that you return? Why are we talking about the different types of animals and different types of objects? Why is it here in this context? So let's see if we can get some answers to our questions. Source number two is a Rashi. Rashi right here on our parsha says Visalamta. What does that mean to be vihis lehis aleim kovish ayin? That ratio should not be there. Sorry, kovish ayin ki ilu eino roehu. To be a mis aleim is someone who is kovish ayin. What is that? How would you translate that? Kovish ayin. You're like
kovish is like wearing a hat.
Yeah, it's like covering your eyes. Ki ilu eino roehu, as if meaning. What are you doing?
You never even saw.
Yeah, you're putting on. Right, you're ignoring. Right, you're not. His salamta does not mean like make sure you have your binoculars out so you see every single thing. No, it means that things that are normal to see, and you ignore them, that's not right. That you can't do. Lo suchal yisalem, you can't, that shouldn't happen. It shouldn't be there's something right in front of you and you walk away, which is very important, meaning there could be things that are dropped in all kinds of places and I may or may not see them. That I'm not responsible to like go and find, search out every single missing thing in the world. That I can't necessarily do. But what I can do is that if there's something right in front of me, I can't walk away from that. That's something I have to pay attention to. Okay, so that's A. Next, lo tire vihisalamta. So he says, lo tire oso shetisalem imenu. So one piece that the Gemara talks about actually is that there are scenarios in which a person is not responsible for returning a lost object. So a couple of examples the Gemara gives. So lo tuchal yisalem means we can't overlook, right? We can't walk away. But there are certain people who can. So one example is a kohen and the item is in the cemetery. So you see a phone over the fence. You're walking by the mother of a kohen, mother of kohanim. Knows, right? So you're walking by the fence. Sorry, you're walking by the fence, and you notice someone's keys inside the cemetery. But you're a kohen, right? So you can't do that. So what's the halacha? You are allowed to hisalim. Right? You're allowed not to get it. Maybe you should tell somebody. But you're allowed to walk away because it's not something that because you can't violate the other halacha of becoming tamei. Or the Gemara gives another example: a zakim in the fikvodo, an older person who it's not appropriate for them to be expected to do some of that, to get on their, there's keys under the car, and they can't do that. It's not fair. So like that's not something you expect to do. So there are certain exceptions to the rule. So giving this rule, lo tu chal yisalei, means that that's only true for people who are not able to overlook it, but there are certain people who have an out. So that's A. Fine. The Balaturim in source number 3, though, gives us another interesting point. So one of the things we said is that they can only, you should wait, you have to hold on to the cow or the donkey or the whatever it is until adrosh achicha oso, until you, the person comes to claim it. Perish shididrosh haos shalo shiitain lo simin bo. Okay, so the language is adrosh achicha oto. So oto, it means it, right, to come get it. But there's also the word os in Hebrew also
a
means
symbol.
A symbol, can be a symbol. So how does somebody retrieve? You've heard this before when we were kids in high school, right? That's always the question. Like, if you find, everyone knows this, like the kids all know this, like, if you find a dollar bill on the floor, you can keep it.
You can't identify.
Why can you keep it? Because there's no identifying feature on the dollar. I mean, unless you know the serial number, which would be weird if you knew that. That's another problem if you do, right? But like that's the type of thing, right? There has to be some identifying feature. Right, so the way someone would claim whatever the item is by having a simin. Right, that's you know, Zerush Amru Chazal Dorshehu Im Huramai Im Lav, My Lav Bisimanim. You have to decide if the person's a person who comes to be Dorish it, if they're telling the truth, you know, they're a liar or they're a tricker, they're, you know, they're a scammer, as my kids would say.
If you know the person who just lost the dollar, you're obligated to give it back.
Yes, if you saw it fall out of their pocket, then you have to give it back to them, right? But if you're walking on the street and you see a $5 bill, so it's today a dollar, don't even pick it up, right? But $5 bill on the floor. I was talking to the kids upstairs in Parent Child Learning, and I was talking about coins. Change. I said change. And I realized, they don't even know what that is. So like, where does that come out of here somewhere? Like change? Like they didn't even know what it was, right? So, but yeah, you see a $5 bill, so you can't be expected to give that back to somebody because no one would be able to identify. And so, if it's an unidentifiable object, you're not responsible to give it back because no person could ever say, "Oh, that's mine," because I know that X, Y, or Z. Right? But if it's anything that has an identifiable simin, something that someone could claim, so that's how you would be able to give it back. Yeah.
That would mean that the person who wants it.
Correct, they would give up. That's a halacha called yeyush. They would give up, correct. But the point being, there's no way for someone to claim it, so that's not something you have to give back. Fine. But, okay, fine. But that's just a couple of interesting details I think important to add in here. Source number 4 is the Zayim Latorah of Zalman Saratzkin, who we like to quote sometimes. Actually, a lot of times. And he says a very, I think, it's kind of a more musari approach to this, but I think about it's a nice word. He says like this. Because the halacha is, what happens? The Torah says, "Vim lo karov achicha lecha v'lo yedetov." If your brother, right, the person is not close to you and you don't know who he is. So what does it really mean? The simple pshat it means, it's a person you don't know, right? Or he's not around. So he writes like this. He says, "Vim lo yedato el shalimda Torah osanu midatov." The Torah is telling us something, good midos. Ahavas Yisrael. Sherak ha'achim harichokim imcha Rashai atash shalai yudatam. Who are the only people, like only Jews you're allowed to not know? The ones who live far away. Right? But if he's karov elecha, right? Vimlo karov elecha v'lo yudato, meaning the Torah is saying it's a drush, it's a chasidish avor, right? That if the people who you don't have to, you can't know, you don't expect to know the person who's far away. If they're close, right? That you have to know them, right?
You can go over and introduce yourself.
Yes, and further he says, not just him. You should know what his animals look like, and know what his dog's name is, and know, right? You know his family, you know his kids, right? Something to know. And then he writes,
I've seen the same dog twice.
Yeah.
Dogs actually.
So he writes, "Bikan she'afa bisha eno karov elecha v'leidato achichahu." Right? Nice, a very cute, beautiful idea. But fine, okay. That's just I just thought it was a nice word. Rav Moshe finds this is something very interesting. In source number 5, so Rav Moshe in the Sefer Drash Moshe he writes as follows. So he says the following. He mentions before. Right, Sham, he says, "Be'arti shehu nesinas tam lama shehutzucha atar lichtov mitzvah zu." I've given the reason before why the Torah even have to write this. She'af shehu pashut ubarur be'etzem lekol. Meaning, he says, "Why does the Torah even have to write this halacha? If someone loses an object, I have to give it back." What do you mean? It's obvious, right? And why is that? Mitzah mitzvah zahavas harayim ve'achim. What's the halacha? Ve'haftarecha kamocha means what? Love your, we say love your neighbor as you love yourself, but what does it really mean? Va'afamecha kamocha means do to others which you would want done for yourself. So if I lost something, I'd want someone to return it to me, right? So if someone else loses something, I should want to return it to them. So if the mitzvah va'afamecha kamocha should in and of itself include hashavas aveda, so there's no reason to have a separate mitzvah. Okay, so then what's going on here? But rather, a person should make sure to go through the effort to give it back to them. He says, Torah understands human beings, human nature. And what's human nature? If I find something that has value, I know what I'm supposed to do. But sometimes that's hard. Sometimes the thing that I know I'm supposed to do is not something that I really want to do. And by the way, forget each person in their own place. Maybe because it's valuable, or maybe because it's annoying. It's a pain in the neck, right? Imagine finding someone's dog, and you have to some of you would probably like that. But I would not. I wouldn't want to take care of someone else's dog. I'm not interested in doing that. I don't want to have a dog in my house. I like other people's dogs very much, but I don't like, ask my children. I don't like dogs, and I don't want your dog. And I don't want your dog just living in my house and sleeping around. I'm not interested in that. It's hard. It's a really hard thing to do, right? So lachain, right? Efshir shi yisalim. And that's why a person might taka, I'll look the other way. I won't really notice, right? I'll admit it about myself, right? Sometimes you're walking down the street in Yerushalayim or somewhere else, you're going into, Cedar Market or one of these places, and there are people outside asking for money, and you've seen them many, many times. And then sometimes the easier thing to do is like to keep walking. You're on the phone, and it's hard to stop and to look at the person and to hand them some money. And you don't have cash, you feel uncomfortable, whatever. The example is, right? Sometimes, even though you know the right thing to do, it's hard. And the easier thing to do is to literally look the other way and pretend you don't notice, right? Lachain huchrach haTorah letzavos hazeh. And that's why the Torah goes ahead and commands it. It commands something that it knows you know. It knows that we know that we're supposed to do, but it also knows that it's hard. And therefore the Torah doesn't just say, Hashem. So first of all, it goes out its way to say, return it, okay? Even though I should, it's b'hatzav yechak mocha. But then it doubles down and says, lo suchal yislam, and don't look away. Like, if I'm just a jurist, I'm just looking at this as a work of law, it's extra wording, it's not necessary. You told me already to give it back. But the response, the Torah's answer of, or addition of, lo suchal yislam, tells me, and I know what you're thinking. Well, I know what your experience is going to be, and it's going to be hard for you. So don't do that. If you see it, pick it up and take it home and figure it out. Because that's the right thing to do. Because it's your brother. Yeah.
I don't do pets and I don't do animals.
Jenny loves animals.
A lot of
It's hard. It's a hard thing to do. It's a hard thing to do. It's hard. Again, if a person is not capable, they know that it won't work, whatever, it's too hard. There's, you know, there's what to say. But I'm just saying, there's annoying and not an impossible. Right? And for all of us, it's different. Every person in their own place has some what they can manage. And the Alshech, in source number 6, the Alshech was a rabbi who lived in Sfat in the 16th century. He's actually known as the Alshech HaKadosh because he was a Kabbalist. And he says a similar idea, a little different, but similar, and actually more expansive in terms of what this mitzvah is really trying to do. He says, "U'inyan aksuvim omer, ki ratza kadosh baruch hu lezakos es Yisrael." Hashem wanted to give a zechus to the Jewish people. B'mitzvos ve'ahavta recha kamocha. He wanted to give us the opportunity to love each other. U'la hashrisho ba kav lakav. Very beautiful. How do you do that? It's not easy. Person decides, okay, I'm going to be nicer to people. I'm going to become more a bigger Oy of Yisrael. Well, that's a really nice general concept. But how does a person actually do that? You do it slowly, right? Slowly with very small actions, one at a time, right? That's the only way to do so. So he says, "Im heyosha kasha davar be'enei b'nei adam liga be'ad zulasam liageya." Sorry, be'ad zulasam. It's hard for people to get. Hopefully we're good at working hard for ourselves, right? But to work hard for somebody else, that's hard, right? Ki mi yira avedas achiv shoro o chamaro. Who sees their brother's, you know, ox or donkey? V'ye mechamer acharav. Agishto arachiv. V'yaniach kolasek. I'm going to leave everything I have to do the whole day and spend the day running around trying to help bring the ox back to someone, to its owner. I have things to do. I'm a busy person. I have a call to make. I have a meeting. I have a this. I have a that. We have other things to take care of. I don't have time for that. Who has time for that? Says the Alshech, right? Al kein amra Torah lo sirer sharo seyod ninechim vitalam temehem. Right? B'tiv acha. Because the normal teva, the natural thing to do, is to look away. Ki kein derech b'nei adam. It's normal. Ki mashev tishivim klamar hashev pam achas. Fascinating. What's the language? It's a double language. Hashem tishivim, which we always say is surely return, right? But why the double language? He says because if you do it once, what's going to happen? You'll be able to do it again, right? Try. We always say try it once. Try it once.
You can't equate an ox to a cell phone.
But by the way, a cell phone. That's also hard. It's also not so easy. If they call the person, it depends on what your schedule is like.
Some of these things you can't equate one day's experience to the other.
It's not the same.
Experience.
But if it becomes something that I'm accustomed to doing, ki im hashev tishivim, klamar hashev pam achas, v'acha kach tashiv pam acheres imitzarech. Once you do it once, you're like, wow, that's like, right? I don't know. Ever return something to somebody? Mm-hmm. And they come to the door to pick it up, mm-hmm. and they're like, wow! Thank you so much, right? How's that? It feels amazing. It's a great feeling, right? You didn't get anything.
I wonder if that's why the person opens up and starts with an ox. Like, it starts with the biggest possible, most annoying, I've never dealt with an ox. But
yes. I don't spend a lot of time with
it,
yeah.
It doesn't start with a garment, it doesn't start with an ox, it says, like, first and foremost an ox, and then ox and everything else that's smaller, you have a responsibility, presumably assuming that you can.
Right. If it's dangerous for you, you wouldn't have to do it.
Yeah,
right.
Whatever, right. I don't think you have to go starving. Actually,
right.
I don't actually know.
You presumably do not have to go starving, correct. So I missed that say, you wouldn't have to spend any money.
But
yeah.
Like, it starts with an ox, and then everything else to say, like, and even if it's a giant animal, it this is where the mitzvah, like, kind of opens.
Right, right. It's exactly his point, and that's what he says. So he says, ki barishona hechrech tzivrei Torah. At first they'll do it because, it's a mitzvah, I have to do it, whatever. And then eventually, it's going to become your nature. You'll do it because you want to, right? Kol kach tachpots asos mitzoni, ki asisa hamitzvos pam achas, tigro lehitiv libcha, lasosa pam shenis. It's a beautiful idea. Right? The Hashem says, look, start, just do it now because I'm telling you to. But eventually, it's going to become part of your personality. It's going to become part of who you are. V'gam im lo karov achicha, and even if the person's not around, tishmerenu beveischa, adrosh achicha son, and then do that. And basically, he goes through in the second paragraph, he says exactly what you just said, that it goes one after the other, from the hardest to the easiest. And basically says, kol evad asachicha, right? And it has to be, it says, go all the way down where it's bolded there. V'acharei sheshalashta b'mitzvah me'az. And now that you've really worked hard at this, dalcha shekach tia mushrash u'malumad b'mitzvah she'me'az b'cha lo tuchal yisalim. What's going to happen? When you get so used to it, it becomes part of who you are, you will now be lo tuchal yisalim. You will be incapable of looking away. Not because I told you to, because it'll become part of who you are. And so the pasuk ends, begins with, don't do that, right? V'yisalam t'mehem, don't do that. And it ends with, lo suchal yisalim, not a command, but rather a reality that will come to exist. That will become changed and become people like that. It's very beautiful. It's actually one of the answers given why we don't make a birchas ha-mitzvah on mitzvahs bin am l'chavera. And you're about to walk into a base avel. You don't say, Baruch atah Hashem, k'nei mecham ha-shekri, yishod mitzvos v'tzivano, on the mitzvahs nicham avilim. You think that maybe you should, right? Maybe you should. So the Rashba says, because what happens when I make a bracha, what am I sort of saying? I'm sort of saying, like, I wouldn't have ordinarily done this, right? If I pick up a lulav and esrog, like, I would never pick up a lulav and shake it around. That would be weird, right? But Hashem commanded me. Hashem commanded me, so I do it. So if I do that by mitzvah ben machaver, what am I saying? I wouldn't have come to be my chamavah. But Hashem commanded me, so what can I do? So I'm coming in. No. That's the wrong message. The message is, the mitzvah just reminds me of what I should be doing anyways. Right? So I don't make a bracha to say, this is like supposed to be my personality. It's supposed to be the type of person that I am. And I would do it even if Hashem didn't command it, because that's just what he wants me. That's the type of person he wants me to be. Fine. Okay. So let me show you one other, I think, cool idea. Take a look at source number 7. It's another halacha found later on in the parsha. So we talked about returning lost objects, and this is about kiyeh riv bein anashim. Two people are fighting. V'nigshu al ha-mishpat u'shvatum v'itztiku etz ha-tzadik v'yeshuyos ha-rashan. You said, that person's right, and that person's wrong, and then what happens? So that's one thing that happens in judgment. Sometimes you judge between people, and sometimes one person is found guilty, sometimes they have to pay money, but sometimes they do something, they're chayiv in malchus, they have to get lashes in bezdin. V'ayayim bin ha-kos ha-rasha. So if someone is deserving of lashes, v'pilo ha-shofet v'hikahu lefanav kedei v'shaso b'mispar. So they have a certain amount of lashes they get. 39, whatever, depends on the person. They figure out how much the person deserves, and they give them lashes. Fine, it's not so PC. That's what we do in Bezdin. And then the Torah says, arba'im yakenu lo yosif. You give them 40, you don't really get 40. 40 always means 39. Different shear for a different time. Why does 40 always become 39 in halacha? But 40 becomes 39 sometimes. But don't give an extra one. Why? Because if you give him one extra than he's supposed to get, he'll be embarrassed. Shouldn't do that. Okay. From here, Chazal learned the issur of what's called chavala, hitting another person. If you hit somebody and you cause them to, you bruise them, you violated the lo sasei of chavala. So it's a big shala about kids want to go paintballing. Why? Because when you play paintball, you get welts, right? So it's a big shala. Can you be a boxer? And can you be mochel, allow people to hit you and make you bleed, etc. MMA, whatever. So this is a big shayla. But the point is, you're not supposed to cause somebody else to bleed. If you're a surgeon, you're doing it to help them, and something else. You're a doctor, that's something else, right? But the point is, you're not supposed to cause people a wound. Fine. Question is, it's kind of a funny context for this halacha, right? Of all people, I would have think you could give. You know, the guy deserves to get hit 39 times, let's say, with badly. It's not pleasant, right? And the halacha is, but if you hit him one more time, then you just violated the Isra of Chavala. So why teach me that over here? What's that about? So, Chanoch Leibowitz, who's a former Shiva Chafetz Chaim, he says that this halacha is learned in a very fascinating context, right? You're learning chavala from a guy who's getting malchus. And he says also the idea of learning hashavas aveda during war. He puts them together. They're both very interesting, kind of interesting context with the halacha. And he basically says that they go together. Why? What would happen? Let's go to the case of hashavas aveda in war. What might I have thought? I'm in war. What am I looking out for?
Rules don't apply anymore.
Yeah, rules don't apply anymore. I'm trying to survive. I'm just trying to do what I have to do. And right, this is not the time necessarily where a person thinks to be thinking about someone else's things. right? It's not the type of scenario. I'm not talking about literally while bullets are flying. That'd be obvious. You'd be pikuach nefesh. But not in that moment, right? In that moment, I'm thinking about myself. I'm not here thinking about someone else's lost, whatever, animal, right? So it comes a turn to tell me, no, even in that moment, right, even the time when you are least likely to be thinking about other people, Hashavas Avin applies even then. And says, same thing when it comes to this Isra of Chavala. Right? What's the Isra of Chavala? It's not to hit somebody. So I think, who's the person I care the least about hitting? Some low-life guy who, right, some criminal who's in prison and whatever. So that's, what's the pshat? The answer is, yeah, even the lowliest of society, even the people who I'm least likely to be worried about, are the people that I have to be careful not to hit, people not to hurt. And therefore, I specifically choose that context in order to teach this halacha. Why? To teach me that there is no exception. I choose specifically that example so that I wouldn't ever think there'd be any other scenario. If I can't do it then, or if I have to do this here, I have to do it always, basically. And I think that brings us back sort of to our original question, right? Which is like, what the Torah is really trying to do here is not just, it's teaching me a concept known as Hashavas Aveda, but it's really teaching me something so much more, which is midos, the type of person I need to be. It's an outlook on life. Lo Suchali Yisalem. It's a beautiful story they tell about I was at the people wrong, so I wrote it down. So here it is. It's Rav Amitai used to tell a story about the Baal HaTanya. Baal HaTanya, Rishni Zaman of Lidai, so he was the second Lubavitcher Rebbe. So the Baal HaTanya was one time learning in a room. And next to him, his grandson, the Tzemach Tzedek, was also learning. And in the third room, there was a baby. And whose baby was it? It was the Tzemach Tzedek's
baby. The next generation.
The next generation. Okay, so you have grandfather, grandson, and then great-grandson. And they're both sitting and they're learning. And the baby starts to cry. And the Tzemach Tzedek, who's the father of the baby, is learning so intensely that he doesn't hear. So the Baal HaTanya gets up and he goes into the room and he picks up the baby and he quiets the baby and puts the baby back down. And he comes back into the room and he says to the Tzemach Tzedek, he says, did you not hear that? And he says, oh no, sorry, I was like so involved in my learning, I didn't hear the baby crying. So the Baal HaTanya says to him, if your learning is so intense that you can't hear a baby cry, there's something wrong with your learning. There's something wrong with your learning. So if Yehuda Amitai was the Rosh Hashiva and Shivat Haratzon in the Gush, you said, people would say to him, what type of yeshiva do you want to have? So he would say, he would tell this story, and he would say, in our yeshiva, we teach our students to be able to hear the baby cry. that our Bein Adam L'Makom isn't so strong that we somehow lose our Bein Adam L'Chaveira. That our outlook on life is one that is
responsibility,
looking out for other people. Is another tell another story. They asked, I love this story. Lichtenstein was once they told him a story that happened. It was like there was a guy who was like a peddler in Yerushalayim somewhere, and he was like carrying wares on one of his on his cart or something. The cart fell over, and he was not religious. And so there were a few like yeshiva kids who saw the guy struggling. Right, it's actually halacha also, right, about helping someone whose animal falls down, right? We've talked about that before, actually, right? And they're still like discussing like what the halacha is. Do they have to help? Do they have to help the guy or not? So it was like someone saw it, was like so upset, like it's pick it up, stop having the conversation and pick it up, right? So someone's asked Lichtenstein, like, what would you prefer? Would you prefer having kids who know the halacha and handle in the Gemara, or the kids who pick it up? So he said, I'd rather have the kids who pick up the who don't know the Gemara, but they pick up the guy's cart, right? Like, and then the day. Right, what are we being asked to do? And I think that's the point that's the message of the halacha. The message of the halacha is lo suchal yisalem. It should take me to a place that it transforms who I am, that I become a different type of person, and that I therefore I'm not able to walk away from Aveda. Okay, so some of them are going to be harder. There's deer walk around here. There's no cows walking around. Right, but like there will be scenarios where it's hard. Have you ever heard somebody knock on your door on Erev Shabbos? They got lost and they don't know where to go and they need some place for Shabbos? That's really hard. It's beautiful stories. Wow, it's so amazing. They took them into their house. They had a Shabbos. And This is a very difficult situation on the moment.
Leave their dog outside.
But I'm just saying, like,
my dad has hair.
Right, but it's a hard thing to do. These things are difficult. They're not easy. They're not easy. It's not always easy. It's hard in today's world. Like everything has to like be comfortable, or like we can't do it. And it's a hard thing to teach our kids, right? And to teach ourselves. Sometimes it's really uncomfortable and it's really hard and like it's not easy to do. And I think that's the message of Hashavas Aveda, is not just Yevav Mecha Mocha, give it back. The message is, if we learn to do it even when it's hard, then eventually Lo Suchal Yisalem, we become people who can't overlook the needs of another person. And if we do that, then we're really setting ourselves up in a good way. We're putting ourselves in the right direction. Yeah.
I think I missed part of the point of the story.
Yeah.
Of the boy.